Today on Behind the Binge podcast, we are joined by none other than my past group coaching client, Olivia. Olivia joined Behind the Binge Academy just about 2 years ago. She did a 3-day workshop that I was holding and then took the plunge into 12 weeks of group coaching, and she has been binge free since. I am so excited for you guys to hear Olivia's story. Not only is she funny and witty, but she also has a really inspiring perspective as a triathlete. Olivia highlights things that she dealt with growing up surrounding diet culture, like doing Weight Watchers as early as 11 years old, all the way through to how her relationship with food has impacted past relationships, friendships, family events, and her athletic ventures. Olivia's currently training for an Ironman, and she describes how much better her training is now that she has a healthy relationship with food. I know how impactful past podcast episodes with coaching clients has been for some of you who have messaged me on Instagram saying that it inspired you, so I'm really excited to bring you another one today. And as you're listening, if you feel connected to Olivia's story, I want to let you know that we're actually open for applications into Behind the Binge Academy. I did a little bit of a hiatus with group coaching at the end of last year. Actually, not really the end of last year. I think the last enrollment period was April of last year. Now it's February. So we took a little bit of a break to focus on some other things, but I missed it. And I know how much of an impact it's made on my past clients who have been enrolled in the academy. And so we brought it back. So as you're listening, if you relate to Olivia's story, the Academy just might be the right fit for you. I'm actively reviewing applications every single day. So if you're interested in learning more, the link to learn more about group coaching is in the show notes, or you can go to behindthebinge.com/behindthebingeacademy or find the link on my Instagram at binge.nutritionist. Lots of ways to find that link. All right, let's get into this conversation with my past client, Olivia. Let's just start off from the beginning. What was your relationship with food like, maybe starting all the way back to when you were growing up?
Yeah, my relationship with food before joining the academy was always pretty tumultuous, pretty much as long as I can remember. I remember as early as like 5 or 6, knowing that my body was different in a way that was not good. And that translated really quickly into how I behaved around food and how I thought about food. I remember like sneaking food and having food guilt as early as being like a really little kid. I remember that always kind of being there. Yeah. Yeah. And then started Weight Watchers when I was, I think, 11 or 12. It was like early middle school. And I got really obsessive right away. I would like hoard my points. I didn't ever want to eat because I wanted to like save all my points for why. I don't know. And I remember specifically, I would not eat dinner the night before a weigh-in. And I remember one Saturday, it was always Saturdays where we had our meetings. My mom and I would go together. And we had this weigh-in. We come home. My mom's so excited to tell my dad that I had lost weight that week. And my dad would say like, well, yeah, she didn't eat last night. Almost like not concerned that I didn't eat, but more concerned that I was cheating at Weight Watchers. So that was kind of the vibe growing up. And then I never really healed my relationship with food after that. So I was always either on some kind of diet or doing some kind of restriction, or on the complete opposite of the spectrum and doing like a free for all, whatever, with food. So it was never really like I'm just eating. It was either I'm restricting, or I'm going all in, eating whatever, because I have like a F it kind of attitude.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense if from such a young age, that's what you were taught, you know, hoard all these points so that way you could, like you said, you don't even know what, like enjoy them without calculating or micromanaging all this stuff. And I totally forgot that back then Weight Watchers was like a place you went to and would get weigh-ins and stuff. And that's just a whole other level of teaching you from a young age to rely on external factors like the scale, those weigh-ins, and then getting that external praise, both from the people at the center, I'm sure, and then also, yeah, your parents, no matter how well-meaning it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, I had a lot of anxiety around the scale, for sure, also, to the point that, like, anytime I was going to the doctor for any reason at all, I'd be like, I don't want to go because I don't want to weigh. There was, like, all of this pressure and just intense energy around the number on the scale that, like, from a very young age, I was like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to think about that. So that was definitely part of it too, was like the arbitrary, because when you're a kid and you go on Weight Watchers, they make you get like a note from your doctor of like, what's a healthy weight for this person? So it was all very much based on how tall I was and how old I was. And it was like, here's this number. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, I'm never going to weigh this. And so it was that kind of energy too of like, here's this arbitrary weight that you need to try to get down to be healthy. And then it resulted in all these behaviors that obviously were not that healthy.
We can see how that, you know, clearly was the start of a rocky relationship with food. When did you start to realize something was off and that maybe you had a disordered relationship with food?
It was a couple of years ago when I started therapy for an unrelated thing. So I have been in and out of therapy pretty much since probably high school. And I decided to go back to therapy for like anxiety reasons. And as I started therapy, I realized I was talking a lot about food and around, because this was when also around the time when I started to binge. I had never had an issue with binging before, even when I had dieted in the past, had never had any binge behaviors. And so the more I talked to my therapist, he kind of pointed out like, it really seems like something deeper is going on with your relationship with food. And so he actually suggested working with a nutritionist, and that's how I found you. And during all of this too, I don't know, it just kind of opened my eyes to what is my relationship with food? Like, how is this impacting me on a day-to-day basis? Because it had become so natural and second nature for me to think about food the moment I woke up, think about food all day. If I ate something that was like off limits, big air quotes, like obsessing over it, thinking about food the last thing before I go to bed, counting calories all day. I actually, in preparation for this, looking at the Google Doc, found my old Excel doc of all my meals that I would plan with calorie counts, with like, here's what my average calorie burn every day, like planning to be in a deficit every day. And that took up so much energy. And so I think being in therapy and having to put words to it of like, what is actually causing me stress, I realized how huge my relationship with food was and all of that and how much duress it was bringing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exhausting. Even just hearing you talk about finding that Excel sheet, it brings back those old feelings of just how tiring it is to pre-plan, but then also amidst feeding yourself during the day, having to jot that down or mental calculate things or do the mental gymnastics to figure out how you're going to burn something off that you quote unquote shouldn't have eaten. I mean, it does take over so much of your brain space. And so I'm sure with how much it consumed you, it impacted a lot of different areas of your life. I'm curious how it impacted just regular social life for you or relationships in your life.
It definitely did. I don't think I realized it in the moment, but when I look back, I remember being at brunch with my best friend, for example, and not hearing a word she was saying because I was mentally calculating how many calories were in the thing I had ordered. Or I pretty much ruined the romantic relationship I was in at the time because I was projecting all of these feelings and expectations around my own body onto him. He had none of it. He did not want me to be, you know, dieting so intensely and like exercising so intensely. But I, in some way, convinced myself that I was doing this for him, kind of. And so that kind of all fell apart because I couldn't get past the food of it all. And even, I mean, our relationship with my family, like, I remember being on a vacation with my family and just becoming so like crabby and unagreeable if I felt like they were trying to make me eat something that was not on my diet. Like if we stopped for ice cream, I was mad about it. Weird energy at restaurants because I just couldn't, I was not comfortable eating anything that wasn't spring mix with salsa, which is an example of something I would eat for dinner, you know? Like my sister brought back the spring mix with salsa over this past summer. So 2 years into now I'm good on food. I had forgotten about that entirely. And she brought up, she's like, do you remember when you used to tell me that you were eating these crazy things for dinner? That was your whole dinner. And I'm like, oh my God, no. But yeah, yes, now I do.
And we were so convinced that it was like so good. I can remember so many meals like that. You even just sharing about like your past relationship and then you know, going out to eat and getting frustrated with your family about ice cream. It brought up this memory for me when I was dating someone when I lived in California, and he was going to run a half marathon in Death Valley. And so we did a road trip. And when we got there, we met up with his friends and they were like, let's go to a restaurant, all this stuff. And I was like, I gave my recommendations on where we should go, but they all decided on Mexican. And I got so mad at my boyfriend at the time because I was like, what am I going to eat at Mexican? You know, I'm low carb right now. It's like all carbs. And then I ordered like a dish with tilapia. Who the hell orders tilapia fish at a Mexican restaurant? Yuck. And I just like picked around the rice and ate this fish and then was like so mad at my partner for the rest of the weekend. Well, he was there to run a freaking half marathon. I made it about me and my diet. And like, it is just so astounding how this terrible relationship with food, it can bleed into so many different areas of our life, even if we're not realizing it, even if we think it's just us. And like, it's just, you know, this is about my relationship with food. It's fine if you're not dieting, but then we don't even realize the way it impacts everyone around us.
Yeah, for sure. And just the rigidity and not being able to like, you know, not being able to have somebody cook for you and just be happy and grateful that somebody cooked for you. It's all the obsession about, I have to eat this perfect exact way every single day, no flexibility at all. In pursuit of a goal that now I feel like is not aligned with who I am or what I want out of life at all.
Yeah. It's a great realization to come to that point where you're like, what is this all? What am I working towards? And is it even worth it? Which I know that a big part of your life now is your athletics and your amazing races and triathlons and all this awesome stuff that you're able to do. And I'm curious when like that, the interest in triathlons and those sorts of activities started, and like if your relationship with food at any point impacted your pursuits.
Yeah. So my interest in triathlon came about at a interesting intersection during my whole healing journey, because I did my first triathlon race kind of at the peak of my intense restriction. I had started running maybe the summer of 2021. And that was when I got into triathlon, because I was like, well, I know how to bike, I know how to run, let's just learn how to swim and also do triathlon. And so it was kind of born out of, I kept adding on activities to keep burning more calories every day and keep adding more volume to my schedule. So the original motivation was still to just add on more exercise to burn more calories. After I did my first race, I realized that I genuinely enjoyed doing triathlon. And so, you know, it was interesting because I signed up for my first Ironman around the same time that I started Behind the Binge. So while I was starting to ramp up my training, starting to ramp up my volume, I also was having to reconcile eating more and being more flexible, being more open to rest and things. So that made me very apprehensive, because I was like, how am I supposed to prepare for this huge thing while I'm also trying to eat more? That just did not seem intuitive to me. And this was also coming off of, after my first triathlon, I was supposed to run my first marathon at the end of 2021. I ended up getting injured because I wasn't eating very much at all and like way over exercising. So really common thing is to, you know, you ramp up volume too fast and you get hurt. So I wasn't able to run my first marathon. And so I was coming into this weird place with my athletics. And then it worked out so beautifully. Like, it ended up being pretty much perfect that I was needing to eat more. I was trying to teach myself to eat more and feel my hunger and fullness cues and trust my body around this time where I really needed those things to be true in order to keep training. Yeah. So truly, I got through my whole training season injury-free and got to race day, felt great all day, had like a wonderful time. And yeah, I just finished my second Ironman a couple months ago. So
congratulations.
Continuing on the journey. Yeah, thank you.
Oh my God, you're such a badass. I can't imagine. That is amazing. I have run one marathon, but I've always said if I ever did it again, I would only do the Disney World one, because you run through all the parks. And I'm like, that sounds really fun, mostly just to run through all the parks, but good for you. That's amazing. And, you know, like you highlighted, it is really confusing when you're told to stop binge eating. You actually have to eat more, but you saw the positive benefit of eating more protected your body. It not only minimized the binges, but also allowed your body to perform in this really great way without injury. So, you know, that I'm glad you were able to see that evidence like right after you kind of started the academy. But I want to back up a little bit. So, you know, we talked about your history and kind of when you started to realize your relationship with food was a struggle. So when you reached out, what were you looking for support with? What were your biggest struggles that you were hoping to accomplish that you were hoping to overcome that made you say, okay, I think, you know, this might be the program for me?
I think the binge behavior and the purge behavior had gotten so, I didn't feel like I really had a grip and I didn't know how to stop. I think in the past, there was always steps that I felt like I could take. If a diet got too intense or, you know, if I started to feel like maybe this isn't the right path, there was like something I could do to stop. I really did not feel like I could stop without some kind of intervention. It was to where like when I would binge, it felt like I was blacking out. It felt like I cannot stop. I physically cannot stop until there is nothing sweet left in the house. Sweet was always my thing because that was the category of stuff that I told myself, I'm not ever going to eat this again. And I genuinely believed this is how I'm going to eat for the rest of my life. This is who I am now. And I would truly, I mean, it would just hit. And like, it could be any hour of the night. I would be driving home from something and I would like pull over to the grocery store and pick up whatever sweet thing and literally like eat the whole thing, usually in the car on the drive home. Like it was like instantaneous. And I was in this cycle of having that happen and blaming myself and feeling like this is because I don't have any willpower. This is because I'm failing at this thing. And I just felt like I'm trapped in this horrible thing where like I just feel bad all the time. And like I'm always having to recover from this type of thing, because it doesn't feel good to binge. Like, you know, I realize in retrospect that it was my body trying to balance things out, but I just felt like tired and crappy all the time. And the added layer of I felt so much shame around it, and like I couldn't really talk about it to anybody because I didn't really feel like anybody would get it. So the community aspect of like, these are all people who are doing kind of similar things, going through similar things, and like you're not going to sound like a crazy person if you say, I ate an entire thing of Oreos last night. I ate an entire jar of Nutella. I, you know, all of these things that I was like, I hope nobody ever finds this out about me. I felt like, you know, a community where you can share those things freely and get them out in the open and kind of minimize the shame there. That was a big draw for me too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, the community aspect, when you speak things that you feel shame about, it reduces the shame, especially when you're surrounded by other people who can say, wow, like you really aren't alone. I so relate to that. And I know, well, for myself, hearing you say it felt like blacking out and I could eat a whole container of Oreos. I'm like, yeah, retweet. I can relate to that. I've definitely been there. And I'm sure so many people listening right now feel the same way. Like, wow, you're speaking my language here. It sounds like you really hit this moment where you're like, enough is enough. I'm tired. I need to get through this. So what was the beginning of that like, right? Like we started working together, what started to really help you make change and how did it feel kind of upon initially beginning this journey?
Yeah, I think, so it started with, I did the 3-day jump start. And one of the things that you had us do was to start incorporating our fear foods. I think having somebody else give me permission to put these things in my cart and bring them into my house, I was like, okay. Like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to follow what I'm being told and I'm going to try it. And I think just like opening with, this is not a quick fix. This is not, you can't expect to lose weight. The idea is not to lose weight. The idea is for you to genuinely heal your relationship with food and just be able to eat and like exist and be fine. That I really got behind. And I think as I started incorporating those fear foods and like the tip of eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I hadn't eaten breakfast regularly probably since I was a little kid. Like it had been a long, long time. And so even just getting that basic routine set and giving, it took me a while to genuinely give myself permission to eat whatever. But once that kind of the ball started to roll, I was like, okay, this is feeling better. And I feel like it didn't take that long for me to realize like, okay, I cannot eat Nutella every meal all the time and like still want it after after so many days. Like if I start to knock these things off of their pedestal, they're not as special or off limits to me. And food can just be food across the board. So yeah, I think it was those like initial action steps that really made me feel like I am making progress towards something. I'm not just spiraling.
Yeah. I love that you just sort of adopted it right out the gate of like, okay, I'm being prescribed to go get the jar of Nutella by my dietitian. I'm going to do it. It sounds so insane at times, but really leaning into that permission, that unconditional permission. I mean, it helps to normalize our binge foods in a way where, yeah, right. Like we can eat Nutella for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for so long before we're like, I could literally eat anything else. And that's because the food doesn't really have that much power over us when, you know, it's as neutral as any other food. But I'm sure leaning into that was really scary at first. I mean, it was for myself as well. And when you hear this is not about weight loss and we can't be in pursuit of weight loss, like when that's kind of always been part of your goal since you were little, how did it feel to hear we're not pursuing weight loss and we don't, you know, we don't really know what your body will do in trying to heal from binge eating?
It felt pretty scary. I think I had gotten to a place where I didn't really care. At the start of the journey, I kind of had gotten to this place where I really just wanted to feel okay mentally. And I kind of felt like the body image stuff will follow. I think there was a part of me that was in denial a little bit that anything would change with my body. That's something I still work on today, is getting comfortable with body change. You know, I think even today, it's a little uncomfortable just existing as like a femme person in 2024. It's just challenging to get used to that. But I was okay with the outcome. If I could get the outcome of feeling comfortable with eating day to day, I was willing to accept whatever outcome with body change.
Yeah, that's a similar place I got to when I started my journey, where I was like, I'm scared. I don't know what my body will do. But at the same time, I know what I've been doing isn't working. And I'm so sick of it that, you know, if what I'm doing now leads me to healing my relationship with food, it's worth it because this is clearly miserable. So yeah, I mean, it takes a special rock bottom to hit to feel that way. But, you know, I'm glad you were able to see, like, you know, I'll be able to tackle body image as we go, because the most important thing right now is my relationship with food. And so what do you feel like helped you get through the tough parts of recovery? And specifically, if you went through a honeymoon phase.
I think I did go through a honeymoon phase. I was really excited at the beginning to start eating normally, stop counting calories, stop weighing myself. Even just doing those things made me feel like I'm rediscovering the possibilities of life and rediscovering interests that I have and what I care about. I think the exercise of like, what are your values? Okay, do any of those have to do with what you look like? No. Okay. So how important is that really? I think all of those things were very, very helpful and set me off on a good foot. The journey was challenging though. I think because spoiler alert, I did gain weight and that was challenging for me. I think having to buy new clothes to fit my body as it changed, that was something that was very emotional for me. I went through a breakup during this period, not entirely because of the journey that I was going on, but part of that relationship that I was in at the time. You know, I was trying to be very vulnerable and like, I'm scared that you are going to not want to be with me anymore as my body changes. I'm afraid you're not going to be attracted to me anymore. And they were like not super receptive to having that conversation. So that type of thing made me feel very isolated and very like, oh my God, am I signing myself up to have this like lonely life where I'm needing to just like, am I going to keep gaining weight forever and ever? And this is just my reality now. I think being honest about those feelings and like, honestly, while I was in the academy coming every week with real questions of like, I saw this photo of myself and I was momentarily horrified. What do I do about that? Like, I think having those honest, open conversations was really, really helpful. And just reminding myself of my why, reminding myself why I started and like, okay, remember where you were just a month, 2 months ago. Do you ever want to go back there again? And I think going through that entire process of like, okay, what was happening when I was restricting really intensely? How did I feel? Like, how did that manifest itself in my work, in my friendships, etc. Like, do I ever want to be there again? Not really. So then probably this is good. Probably these are good changes. So I think that was big too.
Yeah. I mean, the whole entire journey is very vulnerable, but at the same time, learning to understand even those vulnerabilities and those feelings can be a big part of what gets you through binge eating for life or having a healthy relationship with food for life, because you can recognize when you're getting activated in those ways. You'll know how to respond to them the more you listen and learn from those feelings. You know, there's a big part of body grief of what we've always expected for ourselves versus what, you know, our path is currently. And it is really rocky, but that's why I like having a program like the Academy, because then you have an open space to process that instead of it just sort of bottling up in your head and then us kind of backing away in fear back into our old diet mentality. So let's transition to some of the positives now, because I know we've highlighted a lot of the hard stuff and I'm sure there are people listening like, whoa, 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 what is going on? Like, is this even worth it? This sounds so scary. So let's talk about, as you know, you are going through this, you're working through the hard stuff that is hard. When did you finally feel like you could come up for air and you saw the light at the end of the tunnel of, you know, moving on with your relationship with food?
I honestly think the light was kind of always there. It probably took me the better part of a year to feel 100% at peace with food. But as soon as I wasn't binging, that was just such a huge difference. And that took maybe a couple of weeks to get out of the like binge cycle. And that was so huge because it took such an enormous mental weight off where it was like, okay, now I'm just eating. Now, like, the only kind of mental energy that's going into this is remembering that I need to be eating at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then in between there, just like seeing how I feel, checking in, and like adjusting as needed. And so it gave me so much room to think about, like, what do I care about doing in my life? What like relationships do I care about fostering? And it actually did bring about like my relationship now that I'm in, like 18 months later, that's gone really well. I, you know, the trainings continue to go really well. Seeing things kind of naturally open up after healing my relationship with food, that was so huge for me. I think about all of the mental energy and all of the time that I sunk into like gym every day, twice a day, calorie counting, like meal planning, panicking and like obsessing, even if I wasn't actually doing anything, like avoiding plans and things because I was so anxious about the way that I looked. Like, as soon as I was able to not do that, it's like all of these possibilities and things in life opened up. And so, I don't know, light at the end of the tunnel, like, I guess the light kind of gradually came on as the binging kind of waited, if that makes sense.
Totally. And I think it's part of it is that situation of being stuck in the same cycle for so long that the light at the end of the tunnel is just simply not doing what we've been doing for so long and finally trying something different. So I totally feel you on that feeling of like, I feel like the light was kind of always there because you knew something had to change and now I'm changing that something. And so we don't know where it's going to lead to, but it's a lot brighter than continuing to do what I've been doing over and over and over again for over a decade, right? So, you know, I feel you on that. And I also, it's just a testament for everyone out there that like going into this journey, mindset is a huge part of it. So even if you have the feelings of like, what if this doesn't work? Like, what would it feel like to flip that and just go, but like, what if it does? And I feel like you really leaned into that idea of like, what if this does work? Like, let's really give this a fair shot.
Yeah. And I think thinking about, you know, what if this doesn't work? It's the thing of, has any diet ever worked? That was what a big thing for me going in was like, how have my experiences gone trying to control my body size in this way? Literally since I was a child, usually my body is the size that it is and it finds a way to be the size that it is, regardless of whatever restriction or behavior change I'm trying to make. So wouldn't it be nicer, like, envision this life of like allowing my body to just exist and then like being myself, like doing things that align with my values, doing things that I find interesting. If it's going to come out in the wash in the end anyway, and body change is inevitable anyway, don't we want to have a little bit of peace and just do what we like?
Yeah, make the best of it. So what does that look like now for you? Now that your life's not so consumed with food in your body, what are those things that are able to take up more space?
Gosh, where do I start? I mean, I still do triathlon. I'm training for a 50-mile ultramarathon in May, so getting a lot of time outside. My boyfriend and I just tried ice fishing for the first time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
hanging out with the dog. I'm reading a lot more for the first time in a long time. I'm reading for fun. That was kind of a new thing. As time clears up and you care about learning about different things that are not just macro counting, you know, opens you up intellectually also. Spending more time with friends, getting out into my community a lot more. I still work on my relationship mostly with body image now, but never, never does any kind of bad body image day or funky feelings about my body lead to I'm going to start dieting. Like, I'm 100% confident that that part of my life is securely in the past. So that feels really good.
Yeah, I always say, for as long as you have a body, you're going to have thoughts about your body image. And so even when talking about your relationship with food or your body, it's not really a destination that you land and you're there. It's an ongoing journey. Your relationship with food and your body is ever changing. I do think that's one of the longest things to really feel neutral or at peace with. But even then, like an ongoing check-in about how you feel with your body after being at war with it for so long is awesome. It's amazing because, yeah, I just like there's no expectation that it is a destination we're going to land and then feel like, well, we're done. Like, great. See you later, diet culture, because, you know, it's kind of always around us anyway. Yeah. Well, I so appreciate you sharing your story. And like, I've just been smiling this whole time because it's just so wonderful to see kind of where you started to where you are now. And I think it's been, I think we're coming up on 2 years since your cohort of the Academy. And so we're really getting like a 2 years later, like, where is she now? So it's, it's great to hear that you've, you know, been able to continue to be an intuitive eater even after 2 years. And I think that's the fear for most people is like, is this just a phase of permission to eat? Like, no, it really can be a sustainable just way of living for you where food's not the center of the universe for you. It's just kind of part of life as it should be. So to kind of end, what would you say to anyone who is listening and they relate to your story and they know they need help, they're considering possibly joining group coaching, joining the Academy, but they're just kind of still on the edge. What might you say to them?
I would say, think about how much energy you pour into food and your body every day. And think about what else you could use that energy for. And like, what would you give to be free of all of the stress around food? Something that is can bring such joy, something that can bring you together with people, something that like you basic need to like live. Imagine if that was not stressful and you could just eat. What would you give to have that? It is 100% worth it. I, 2 years later, to anybody that like breathes a like food problem to me, I say you need Marissa Kymelik. I still say that to this day because I'm like, truly, you brought me out of like the brink and like I feel better than I ever have. I'm going to cry.
Oh my God, you're like, making me want to cry.
I never thought I could feel this comfortable, you know?
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, as you've put words to it, it's so hard, but you know, you did it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Yeah. This is why I do what I do, because you get to that side where you are now and you just feel just such a freedom, a relief, like you can breathe. Yes. And it's like, oh my God, I want everyone who feels stress with food to feel this way, because it's possible. Like, we've been in the spot where we feel like you said, this is going to be my life forever. I'm always going to have issues with food. I'm just not going to be able to eat sweets. And if I do, it's going to be in the parking lot of a grocery store binging on them until I feel like I'm blacking out. But, you know, we've both experienced that. And yet here we both are living a life where, you know, I have cookies and caramels and chocolates and whatever in my kitchen right now. And like, it's just, it's not calling to me. Sometimes I want it, sometimes I don't, but I don't binge on it like I used to. And I'm so glad that you're able to experience that too. And I so appreciate all of the kind words. It just reminds me why I do what I do.
Yay. I'm so glad.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And yeah, we'll end it here.
Go along.
All right. Who's cutting onions? For real, you guys. Do you have tears in your eyes? Because I do. And this is like post-production, Marissa chiming in for this extra, but listening to the conclusion of this episode all over again after editing, oh, just has me feeling emotional. My nose is red. I have tears in my eyes. But that's just because the impact that healing a relationship with food has on your life is just so exciting. It's so emotional. It's just so amazing to reflect on where Olivia was and where she is today. And I see a lot of myself in Olivia. And I often reflect on where I used to be, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago to where I am now and the life that I have now with food freedom. And so if you relate to Olivia in any way, just know that you are not alone. And it is clearly possible to heal your relationship with food, stop the diet binge cycle, end the war on food where you feel guilt, stress, and obsession every time that you eat, and have a healthful life without ever having to start a diet ever again. And if you want that, hit the link in the show notes to apply for group coaching. Behind the Binge Academy only comes around a few times a year, and it is currently open for your enrollment. After you apply, if I feel like you're a good fit, I will send you a link to schedule a free call with me so that way we can together make sure that this is the right program for you. I never want you to enroll in a program that is not catered to fit your exact needs where you are in your journey to recover. And so I want to make sure that this program and where you are in your journey links up so that way you can be supported in the best way possible and find yourself experiencing food freedom faster. Again, you can find the link in the show notes or go to behindthebinge.com/behindthebingeacademy or find the link through my Instagram bio at binge.nutritionist. Can't wait to see your applications and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.